out to eat, yeah, that's for sure. But nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice now. Eat them with eggs, eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them in the side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, what will I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. That's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Well, if I had to change this life I lead, I'd be Johnny Tomato Seed. 'Cause I know what this country needs now. Homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see now. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden would be much better. I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What will I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. That's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What will I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. That's true love and homegrown tomatoes. That's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Forget about love, eat homegrown tomatoes.
That is the Homegrown Tomatoes Band here at the Saturday Light Brigade. And thanks again to the Soil Sisters for being with us. We're going to play Guess Who in just a few moments. Fred sent me a note. Fred is in Crescent. And he said, a little story about Easter eggs. I used to try to sneak a raw egg into the basket of boiled Easter eggs when we would be dyeing eggs. And it was always fun to see who got the raw Easter egg when they would crack it open. Let's take a look at birthdays. Lindsay celebrates today in McDonald. Janice from Tom, Ethan, Ryan, and Megan. And Janessa, our own Janessa Schuler, leaves a basket in Robin's ears today. Tomorrow we have Felicia of Denora, Carson of Blackridge, from your whole family, including Grandpa Jim and Blackridge and Celia, Sam of Forest Hills, and Isabella of Squirrel Hill. On the 18th, we have David from Melanie, Michael, Tracy, Vince, Wes of Old Washington, Ohio, Brian from your family, and Jeff of Brentwood. April 19th, we have Julia, also Kate of McCandless, Amanda of Gibsonia, Dave Wachina of Kana, Quinessing from Robin, and Merritt Lay and Stephen. On April 20th, we have Justice of Longwood, Florida, from your family, Abigail of Miami, from Galadriel, Adam, Araliana, Isabella, Elsa, Leora, and Eamon, Abby of Swissvale, Connor of Upper St. Clair, and I see here Mr. Voss Skumas has a birthday coming up on the 20th. Also, Larry of Washington. I think Larry is in Florida now, formerly of Washington County. And Sophia of Bellevue also celebrates on the 20th. On the 21st, we have a few additional birthdays to mention. Ryan of Penn Hills, Shana of Conway from Lexi and Vincy, Quinn of Mount Lebanon, Sally from Mike, Amy of Rockville, Maryland, Diane of Finleyville from Sister Daphne, also Charlie, Sandy of Wilmington, North Carolina from David, Samantha, and Kate, and happy anniversary to Steve and Faith from Sun Sam. Finally, on April 22nd, we have Rusty from Elizabeth, Tatum from Grandpa Bill, Greg of Oakland, Jillian, Emily in O'Hara Township, and Melissa. Man.
SLB announces listener birthdays at 8:55 every week. Would you like to surprise a friend or family member? Just send us their birthday information and address, and SLB will mention their birthday on the radio the Saturday of or before it occurs, and send a card too. To add your birthday or surprise a friend or family member by adding theirs, visit slbradio.org/birthdays or write to us at slb@slbradio.org or P.O. Box 100092, Pittsburgh, PA 15233.
Include the birthday person's address, and we will make sure they receive an official Saturday Light Brigade birthday card hand-delivered by a uniformed representative of the United States government. It's a busy show today. Dan Kamen will be with us in our next hour. We're going to play Guess Who in just a moment. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK, McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, and SLBRadio.org/radio.
We're all in it together, every boy and every girl. We've all got to get it together, everybody in the world. I gave up on hating you just for hating me. I gave up on hating you a long time ago. I need you. You need me. And we're all in it. To get it right, we've all got to get it together. Everybody's on the same side. I gave up on hurting you, 'cause it was hurting me. I surrendered it to my heart a long time ago.
Staples at the Saturday Light Brigade. It's starting off this hour, we're going to give you the Guess Who initials in just a moment.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
In case you're feeling the morning after effect from a rousing Seder last night, we have this selection from the Meshuggah Beach Party. Now it's time to play Guess Who. We're about to give you a pair of initials, and it's up to you to see if you can guess who they belong to. Could be a man, a woman, somebody real, somebody fictitious. Maybe it's somebody from Broadway, sports, history, literature, film. No matter who it is, we think it's probably a name you will have heard before. Here are this week's initials. They are L. H. L. H. That's L as in Liberty Borough and H as in Harmerville. L. H. You can guess as many times as you would like, and I'll keep you posted with respect to how other people are guessing. 412-200-5975 by telephone or text. 412-200-5975 LH. Today's Guess Who initials.
Haven't slept well in weeks. Have made peace with the fact that I'm leaving you again. It's hard enough out there, even knowing you still care. And you take my call in the middle of the night. Our kiss, it faded. We're not lovers anymore. Just two friends who adore open hands. And I've been busy all the time, so I guess this feels fine. When the night settles, I know it'll burn. Watch me learn. Thank you. watch me learn.
The Saturday Light Brigade, that's a band called Dallas Ugly, and Watch Me Learn. I forgot how tall Dan Kamen is. I see Dan Kamen. I don't know if Dan can hear me, but he's out there. He's going to join us in a few moments. We are playing Guess Who? And I cannot believe, I was suspicious of these initials, wondering if they would work. There are a lot of LHs being guessed, and these are all incorrect LHs, although we've had a few that are correct. We're going to begin with John in Baden. Happy holidays to you, John. He wishes you happy holidays as well, the whole SLB family. Lawrence Hart, Lightning Hopkins, Leona Hemsley, Liam Hemsworth, Lester Holt, he did get the correct answer, Lauren Holly, Lauren Hutton, Lucas Hawes, Larry Holmes, Lee Hazelwood, Linda Hamilton, Lee Von Helm, Larry Hagman, Bill also guessed Larry Hagman, Lauren Hill, and Lena Horn. And I did not mention it, but he did have the correct answer as well. Tom had some of those as well as Lady Hamilton, Learned Hand, Linda Hunt, Leona Helmsley, and Liam Hemsworth. It is Leona Helmsley. I think I said Hemsley before. Nick in New York City has Lillian Hellman. Mike in Mount Lebanon has Lionel Hampton, not him. Lawrence Harvey and Lauren Hutton from Jim in Crefton Heights. Also, Lawrence Harvey from Nick in New York City and from Mike and Mars. Lena Horn from John and Carrick. Larry Hagman from Mike and Mars. Stephen Oakmont has Levon Helm and Lena Horn. Lorraine Hansberry from Annie and Matt has a guess of Linda Hamilton. Kathy in Youngstown says Lester Holt. So does Matt. Larry Hovis. Why do I remember the name Larry Hovis? Do you know what he was known for? Singer and actor. Oh, he was in Hogan's Heroes. (412) 200-5975 to play Guess Who. LH, Levon Helm, guessed by Jeff in Pleasant Gap. He also guessed Larry Hagman and Lena Horn and Lester Holt. Bruce has Lionel Hampton and the correct answer. Nick in New York City also has Lester Holt. John and Carrick has Lionel Hampton. Zach has Linda Hamilton. I'm almost caught up. Annie, not Laurel, at Hardy. Mike has Linda Hamilton and Laura Holt, Remington Steele's partner. Linda Howell from John. And Ricky's been answering the phone. Linda Hamilton from Bill in Homer City. And Linda has Lisa Hartman, Linda Hamilton, and Lawrence Harvey and Larry Hagman. Nobody's guessed Lionel Hutz yet. Isn't Lionel Hutz the attorney on The Simpsons? That's not who it is. 412-200-5975. Only a couple correct answers so far. 412-200-5975. By my count, we have a correct answer from John and Baden and Bruce and Ingram. Larry Hogan, just guessed by Matt, not Larry Hogan. Nor is it Linda Hopkins, guessed by John and Carrick. Bill, you just really made me smile. Bill in Stanton Heights just guessed Lovey Howell from Gilligan's Island. Excellent guess. Linda Hopkins from John and Carrick. Larry Holmes from Nick in New York City. Lester Holt would have been a great guess who. Larnell Harris from Aline in Maine. Gospel singer. Noah is in Ross Township. And I need to find out who Noah just guessed, because it's not somebody I know, but I'm curious. Lucas Hedges. A young actor. It's not Lucas Hedges. Oh, he was in three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. Lois in Gibsonia. With Lorraine Hansberry as a guest. Noah and Ross, thank you for guessing. It's good to hear from you. And I think we're up to date. Oh, Lou Holtz from Tom and McCandless. Not Lou Holtz. Okay, we're up to date. LH, the initials we are playing with. And you might need a certain literary license to come up with today's answer. One that's commonly used, especially if you need to get out of a language corner. That might help you. So far, correct answers from only Bruce and Ingram and John and Baden. I don't think I'm missing any others. We're playing Guess Who at the Saturday Light Brigade. The initials are LH. LH. I'm going to check Facebook while you are scratching your head. 412-200-5975. Dan Kamen is going to join us on the 100th birthday of Charlie Chaplin. He'll be with us in about 10 minutes. Looks like I've stumped a lot of folks. 412-200-5975. Not Lee Hazelwood, John and Carrick just guessed. Nor is it Luke Hemsworth or Lucy Hale. Guess Who answer was born February 1st, 1901. He died May 22nd, 1967. Not little Jack Horner, which Mike and Mars guessed before I just gave those biographical clues. Ted and Baldwin just got the correct answer. Thank you, Ted. L. Ron Hubbard, a great guess from Annie. Well, the answer is Langston Hughes. Langston Hughes, the great poet, social activist, novelist, and playwright. Langston Hughes. And Layla McCullough has put together some songs based on his poetry, and we'll hear a couple right now. Langston Hughes, if you correctly identified him, like Ted and John and Bruce did, a Saturday Light Brigade charge to you.
Well, I'm praying because I'm scared that my time is coming soon. And I pray because I fear that I've got too much to lose. When your Savior came a-knocking, were you ready to be free? And would you ask her up in heaven to save a place for me?
Thank you. bridge, and soon we'll be rich, and the always have been rich, not for you. Hungry child,
Kelly Mulholland with Langston Hughes providing the words there and the tune that he put to Langston's poem, God to Hungry Child. And Layla McCullough did When I Can See the Valley. Before that, again, well done if you came up with Langston Hughes. That's who we were looking for today. And coming up in just a few moments, Dan Kamen stops by.
Dreadful path I've left behind. The only seat left in the whole damn county was a stool to forget the time. Now I lay it on the line. I'm a howling wind, I'm a jumping jack. I packed my bag and hit the road. Never again will I fall so easy with some steam down.
Just getting started.
kitchen dwellers here at the Saturday Light Brigade. And we've been featuring this Montana group's new album. They're new to me, and I hope you've enjoyed getting a chance to learn from them and learn about them. Wise River, the song. Congratulations again if you came up with Langston Hughes. Today's Guess Who answer. Special treat coming up. Dan Kamen is here with us. If you don't know Dan yet, trust me, you're going to want to get to know Dan. And I'm honored that we have him on a very unique day in American, if not world, history. And you'll learn more about that in a moment. Broadcasting live, is there any other way, from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Chad Green, and Dan Kamen. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Jennifer slept in her little bed with dreams of a rabbit in her little head. Rabbit brown and white left the house and ran away one night, along with the turtle and the kangaroo and 17 monkeys from the city zoo, and Jennifer too. They ran through the forest where they all held hands. They came to the ocean with the cookie crumb sands. They called it the sea of the very best dreams, where they all built a castle of the best moonbeams and Milky Way streams. Then there on the sand where the starfish play, the ship sailed in from the moonbeam bay. They all went sailing on the starlight sea, where they all had cookies with oolong tea. And Jenny had three. They danced on the decks of the red-sailed brig. The monkeys and the sailors did a whirling jig. The turtle played the fiddle and the rabbit played kazoo. And they bowed to each other like polite folks do. And Jenny bowed too. And my, said the turtle as the clock struck three, the hour is growing very late for me. Not at all, said the rabbit, and I'll tell you why. We still haven't counted every star in the sky, said Jenny, let's try. So they counted on the ship and they counted on the shore. They counted through the forest to the bedroom door. They counted in bed till they could count no more. Then they all fell asleep. And the final score was a trillion and four. Yes, the rabbit and the turtle and the kangaroo. And Jenny fell asleep like sleepy folks do. Just like you.
Jennifer's Rabbit by Buffalo Rose, of Tom Paxton's song, and that's from their EP. Buffalo Rose just taking the world by storm. A so-called overnight success for this Pittsburgh group. They've worked very, very hard for many years for that overnight success. We're looking for youth from 16 to 22 years of age for a podcast about personalized and equitable learning. Participating students receive a monetary stipend. The time commitment is about 90 minutes with recording sessions on one or two mutually agreeable dates in late April or early May. Check out slbradio.org/apply for details. Applications are due April 19th. You can also add your name to be part of our ongoing youth podcast programs. slbradio.org/apply. What should I do? Oh, I'm smiling.
Though your heart is aching, smile even though it's breaking.
I'm about to.
When there are clouds.
I'm about to never hear this song the same way again because of what Dan Kamen just told me. Welcome, Dan.
Hi, Larry.
Nice to have you here. I don't know how to define you. Dan Kamen is a treasure. Talented mime, sleight of hand artist, cartoon artist, acting coach, man about town, and also an expert in the man who turns 100 today, the event of national significance, Charlie Chaplin. 100.
Actually, this is his 133rd
birthday.
Oh, it's
birthday. The movie. I'm sorry.
It's a double birthday.
I'm conflating. It's two birthdays because
two birthdays.
The kid is 100.
His film, his famous film he made, one of his most beloved films, The Kid, came out in 1921. It's 101. He is 133, or he would be if he was still with us. He lived to a ripe old age, but not that ripe.
Right. I was thinking. I knew it was two birthdays, and I couldn't remember which was which. Yeah, that makes more sense. And he wrote the song?
People don't know it, but he wrote several hits, major hit songs. He didn't write it to be a song. It was part of a movie soundtrack, and it didn't have any words in it. It was part of a movie he made in 1936 called Modern Times. And when the film was released 20 years later, somebody said, you know, this love theme is really sweet. Let's see if we can get some lyrics and maybe we can get somebody. And they didn't realize, of course, that they were getting one of the best singers in history, Nat King Cole. This is Nat King Cole singing Smile in 1954, and this became a huge hit, and it's since been covered by literally hundreds of other singers.
If you
I'm glad you brought this along today. It's a nice song, especially for this time of year and the era that we live in, to get some reassurance. How did you fall in love with Charlie Chaplin? Do you remember when you first encountered him?
Oh, I remember it very well because it was a day that changed my life. I came up to Pittsburgh to go to school at Carnegie Mellon University, and I was going to be an industrial designer. But midway through, they had a really good film series on my campus. It was not a class. There were very few film classes in those days at colleges. It was a student-run film, like every college had films they would show for entertainment. What was different about this, because Carnegie Mellon is so good in the arts, is it started with silent movies every year. And every week they would show a different movie, and they went up through the 20th century showing foreign films, silent movies, and then these really amazing new foreign films that were coming out of like Federico Fellini and Ingmar Bergman that were blowing everybody's mind because they were so different than American films and so fascinating. But when they showed a silent movie midway through my college career of a Charlie Chaplin film, in fact, I remember being in WRCT, one of your stations that broadcasts, and seeing a poster of Charlie Chaplin and asking somebody if it was Ben Turpin, who was another star of the silent movies who had a similar mustache, but Ben Turpin's signature thing was his eyes were crossed. He was very funny looking. He looked like sort of a strangled ostrich or a strangled chicken. And it was Charlie Chaplin. I'd never seen him before. I'd never seen a movie. And it stopped me in my tracks because it was the best movie I'd ever seen. It was the funniest movie I'd ever seen. It was the most moving movie I'd ever seen. And he didn't say a word in it. It was a silent movie. And one of my fellow students from the drama department played for all our silent movies that were played during my years at Carnegie Mellon. And his name was Stephen Schwartz. And some of your listeners may have heard of him because he went on to write a couple of shows that became fairly popular.
Yeah, a little show called Pippin and a little show called Godspell, among others.
He wrote Godspell just out of school. He wrote it the year after he left school. But he wrote more recently a show that is a historical success, one of the most successful shows in history. And it was running right until COVID closed it down. It was called Wicked.
And he was playing piano to the silent film. And that's pretty exciting to see that. Now, what film was it?
Was a film made in 1925 called The Gold Rush. And it was about Charlie Chaplin was looking at some pictures. Slide viewers of the day were called stereoscopes. And he was looking at some three-dimensional pictures of the Donner Pass, where prospectors in the 1840s were stranded in a snowstorm, and they were trapped there in the Sierra Nevada mountains for several months. And to survive, they ate their animals and their shoes, and eventually each other. And Charlie Chaplin read this book about them and thought, what a great idea for a comedy. And it is. It's one of the best comedies ever made. It was hilariously funny, but he could do things I'd never seen anybody do. He could turn himself into a chicken. He looked amazingly. He had a chicken costume on, but he moved like the chicken. He could pretend to be suddenly a man frozen stiff in an ice storm, and he looked like a thing. He looked like a statue. I'd never seen anybody do this stuff and do things that were just so funny and appealing and endearing. And literally, I walked out of that movie into a different life. There happened to be a great mime artist who was teaching on my campus named Jewel Walker, and he could lean on invisible shelves and make walls and tug of war with nobody who was with an invisible rope. And I realized it wasn't exactly what Charlie Chaplin was doing, but it was like it. It was telling stories without words and making people laugh by what you do rather than what you say. And I started pestering Jewel. I would stop him whenever I'd see him on the campus and say, tell me, how do I hold my arm? And he sort of, you know, I made a discovery then that a great teacher is powerless before the enthusiasm of a student. And I was so gung-ho that you were not allowed to take classes if you weren't a drama major in the drama department. And eventually he went, shh, just come out to the classes. And I became the master's apprentice, and I became a mime. It changed my direction of my whole life.
I never knew that because it is hard to take drama classes, if not impossible, unless you are part of the department.
Especially there, because it's a famous drama school, and 1,000 people audition every year or so for 20 or 30 open slots. So they, of course, they can't let just anybody go in. It's like a pressure cooker, and everybody is. It's like this very high level, and they don't want people coming in through the back door. But Jewel understood that my enthusiasm was so great that, as I say, a great teacher is powerless before the enthusiasm of a student. I'm sure many of your listeners have found that out. If they're very excited about a subject, suddenly their teachers become very, very helpful and often inspirational to them by pointing them and guiding them and supporting them, and even just sometimes by saying, "That's great, that what you're doing here."
That's a really good observation of the synergy between a master teacher and a master student, because they really end up empowering each other as part of that relationship. In fact, I've never thought of it quite that way. Now, tonight at the Harris Theater, it's going to be at 7:30 tonight. The Kid at 100, celebrating this masterpiece of a movie, the movie that took a year to make, I believe. I was looking at posters of the movie, and they talked about just how long it took to put the movie together. Frankly, a year doesn't seem like too long to me, given how much is in a Chaplin film. But what will folks see tonight? Is there, I think you'll be there to talk about the film.
It's not just a film. It's a program that I'll introduce the film briefly, but you don't need to say anything about it for people, because the jokes he made in 1921 are still just as funny now. It hit people very hard, Larry, when this film came out, because they'd just been through 4 years of a world war, immediately followed. Imagine what's happening in Ukraine. But it's happening all over the world. That's what was happening in 1914. All of Europe was engaged in this war, terrible, bloody war, just like what's happening in Ukraine now. But right after the war, as if that wasn't enough, a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic they call the flu, started, and many more millions of people were killed in that flu than were killed, that have been killed so far, luckily, in our flu, even though millions have been people have been killed in that too. And so thousands of children were left orphaned. They were left without one or both parents all over the world. And this film is about Charlie's character, who plays essentially his, people called him a tramp or a home, today we would call him a homeless person. In those days he would call a hobo or a tramp or a vagrant, somebody who doesn't really have any money and is just like, sleeping on the street and whatever. He finds an abandoned baby in an alleyway, and he adopts the baby. A penniless, homeless person adopts a baby because the mother was unable to take care of it herself, and so she left it, which happens to this day, of course. And the reaction of people in 1921 was to... It's a very powerful and moving film, as well as being very funny, but it blew people away. It was like the Star Wars of its generation, and people would go see it again and again. They would cry and they would laugh, and it made him, he was already the biggest star in the world, and it made him something even more. It made him, even during his heyday, people realized this guy is doing great art. He's a legend. He's already a legend. Even though his career was only at, he's only 7 years old at that time. I mean, the career was 7 years old.
Yeah, to Charlie Chaplin, some people might think he's a one-trick pony, so to speak, and he's not. I mean, what the depth of his art, of what he created, he was just brilliant.
Yes, and he, when sound came in, he wrote the soundtracks as well. And as I mentioned, what we heard, Smile, was from a movie that he wrote. He wrote a beautiful, The Kid was one of his last scores, because he didn't write music for them during the silent time. Other people would assemble music from pre-existing musical selections. It would be kind of a playlist, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, he took all the movies that he owned the rights to, including The Kid, and The Kid was one of the last ones he did in the early 70s, and the print we're showing is the best print in the world. It's a restored film with all the original titles and things that he cut when he released it in the 70s to trim it down a bit, and his music, his beautiful music that he wrote for it. So it's going to be quite an experience. And it's so moving and powerful and funny that people always want to talk about it. And so I'm going to do a talk about it, because after I got so blown away that I became a mime, I started seeing Charlie's films more clearly because I was trying to make people laugh without talking myself. And so I was starting to see some of his secrets. So I'm going to reveal a lot of the secrets that make the film seem so fresh and funny even now. And then the audience will get a chance to talk, and there's going to be some surprise guests. And so it's going to be, I'm really excited about doing this program, also because it's one of the first things I've done since COVID too, where it's a live audience and in person at the Harris Theater in downtown Pittsburgh.
This is Dan Kamen. If you have any questions of Dan, you can give us a call up 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. I can't tell you, I can't easily demonstrate how Dan makes people laugh without talking or making noise, but he does do that. And I've seen him do that, and he's made me double over with laughter. And, you know, Dan's a big guy. How tall are you? About 6'4", 6'5"?
About 6'3".
Okay, 6'3". And this tall, lanky man can make his body do things that just amaze me. It's the easiest way. You just know these secrets of movement that you've perfected over so many years.
Well, I fell in love with movement in the form of magic when I was a kid, 11 or 12 years old. I saw a movie, another movie. I have to be careful what movies I go to because they affect me so much, about the magician Houdini. And I just wanted to be a magician. And I started to do it by going to the library and looking up books on how to do magic. And that was hard to learn from a book, like learning a piano from a book. But then I met people who were also into it, other kids and adults. And every group in fact, I'm now the president of one of our local magic clubs called, it's IBM, the International Brotherhood of Magicians. And I've been a member for many, many years, but they, for some reason, asked me to be president. And it's been a challenge to be a magician during COVID.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, my mime stuff doesn't, I can't do that online, really. You can make a movie and it looks good online because it's meant to be a movie. But a stage show, it's a little bit like putting a square peg into a round hole.
No, you want to be physically in the same space.
But, you know, I made a wonderful discovery that magic, the kind of magic I like to do, which is very close-up magic with coins or cards and thimbles and stuff, looks really good online because you can have a close-up. My stage is just my hands on the tabletop, and then it cuts to my face to when I can talk to people. And so I've been doing that for sort of COVID relief for myself and for other people too. I developed a show that I call Shazoom, and it's an hour of pure sleight-of-hand magic. Very interactive, though. It's not on, I don't tape it and let people just watch it because I talk to people and people get to pick cards in different ways. So it's very interactive, which is, of course, as you know, what makes stage stuff different than seeing a film or listening to a recording is they're part of the show.
Dan Kamen is here. I want to listen to a few things. I don't know if you want to suggest. I'm going to start with this one because...
Go into a picture show, for I love it so. On the square there ain't anywhere I would rather go. There's where every girl and her beau always go to spoon, you know. So let's go into a picture show for a good old time.
Tell me about that one.
Oh, I'm glad you picked that, Larry. You know, that is a song, believe it or not, from 1909. And it's really when the movies were just getting their foothold. And it's a show about one of the great things about going to movies, which is you can spoon with your girl. I don't think most people know what that word means anymore. Do you even know what people
mean? I do. It's like sparking, only older.
That's right. It means making out. It means holding hands or snuggling up or kissing or whatever. They could go into a dark place. And that was alarming to a lot of people in 1909 that girls or women – could go in this dark place, and men would approach them and, you know, come on to them, you know, and in a way that they did not like. And so I brought this artifact. I don't know if you want to I was challenging Chad beforehand. This is a piece of sheet music, which was the, you know, everybody had a piano in their home in those days. And it's a piece that is from Pennsylvania. It's called March of the Movies. See if you can decipher the message on them. Describe what you're – I'm putting you on the spot now. Describe what you're seeing and what do you think the message is about the movies.
Well, it's the poster's from Reading, but as I
– It's a piece of sheet music, actually. It's piece There's of music sheet inside. Music.
I see some very buxom women on the front, and there are one, two, three, four, five women, four men, and the pianist.
That's a different piece of sheet music.
Yeah, and Charlie is up on stage dancing. He's kind of looking away, and I think he's almost like saying, I'll turn my head and you can all do what you want to do. But
let me help you decode it. He's not on stage. He's on a screen.
Oh, on a screen. Right.
There's a piano player playing before him, and he's doing one of his characteristic jokes, because he made jokes about one of the reasons he was so funny in a silent movie is he made jokes about the things you don't think about. How do you walk funny? How do you tip your hat to a passing lady? Funny. How do you step on a curb? Funny. Or light a cigarette? Funny. And this, when he would turn around, he would sort of whirl around as Chad twerked his, and he would have one foot sticking straight out, one leg sticking straight out parallel to the ground, and he would twirl in a circle as though he needed to break his momentum. And so he made a joke about turning a corner. How do you turn direction? But the big message is you're seeing the audience, and everybody is really well dressed.
Mm-hmm.
There's children there. Even the young boy is wearing a tie.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody is laughing. Even the piano player who's seen the film a dozen times already every day, everybody's laughing because they want to see Charlie Chaplin. And so the message is going to the movies is fun and it's safe.
Fun.
There's well-dressed, good, nice people, the kind of people that you want that you're not worried about, you leaving your son or your daughter in a place where rough people would be stealing their money or trying to grab a kiss.
Which is what you're looking for after the war, right? And after the influenza that you were talking about, maybe.
This is during the war. This came out in 1915.
Oh, really?
And that was when, you know, just a few years after this song that you played. And this is there's a picture of a man on the top in an oval, and he's the president of the Motion Picture Exhibitors League of Pennsylvania. In other words, a trade organization of the people who own movie theaters.
So movies, a good,
I think,
safe
this was
place
given
to
out.
Go.
I think this was given out. I can't prove it. I found the piece of sheet music in a bookstore or an antique store. I can't prove it, but I think they were giving this piece of music out free. And there's no words. It's just kind of a lively, fun song that people could play. But I think the theater owners themselves paid for it. Published by Penn Music Publishing Company, it says, it was a publisher, and gave it out for free to advertise that movies were a good, safe place to go.
Yeah, it's like a public service announcement for movies. Let's listen to this one.
That's why I'm blue. What shall I do? And Beatrice said, never despair. Take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home. There's no little brother there who always squeals. You can do an awful lot in seven reels. Take your lessons at the movies and have love scenes of your own. Though she's just a simple little ribbon clerk, close your eyes and think you're kissing Billy Burke. Take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home. Take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home.
Wow.
Now, there's a challenge question if you want to have your listeners call in. He says, you may be going out with a little ribbon clerk, meaning a woman who sells ribbons at the department store or at the dry goods store, as they would have called them in those days. But she may be a little ribbon clerk, but you can imagine she's Billy Burke. Here's the challenge question. Everybody who's listening to your radio show knows who Billy Burke is because they've all seen her in a very famous movie called The Wizard of Oz. And if anybody could call in and say what she plays in The Wizard of Oz, you will win the Larry Berger giant burger prize.
Yes, whatever that might be, giant.
Which has yet to be determined.
Let me just interject. You're listening to Dan Kamen along with me, Larry Berger, here on the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade at WRCT Pittsburgh, at WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WSAJ Grove City is actually coming back soon, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, and radiophoenix.org. Pittsburgh is the place to be tonight at the Harris Theater.
You know, Larry, it is, but I want to say, because you have so many listeners all over the country, that you don't have to feel bad that you can't come to this show. You can find in your local library or even on YouTube, if you look carefully, you'll find a really good copy of The Kid, and it's worth seeing. And here in Pittsburgh, we're having a dreary day, and I can tell you that everybody who comes to the Harris is going to be smiling ear to ear for the whole of this movie and our conversation afterwards. But you don't have to come. You can always find Charlie Chaplin, because he's never stopped being popular, because his films still give us great pleasure and joy. I wanted to mention, too, that making love to your girl had a somewhat different meaning in those days.
Yes, it just meant
it just meant snuggling in those days. It meant sort of being a courting couple.
Batting your eyelashes.
Another expression that's gone out of date. And, you know, the eyes have it was an expression people liked, meaning what we would today say, oh, she's hot.
Yeah. I'm curious about this one.
All the people's show.
He works in a movie show.
Mr. Charlie Chaplin,
dancing in the cabaret,
is a thing of bygone days.
He's the latest and the greatest craze. So Charlie Chaplin.
Where did this come from?
This was from 1915, and it was when he got a lot of publicity because everybody liked his movies, but also because people wrote songs about the things they found so funny. And it's the song is called Those Charlie Chaplin Feet, because he found a funny way to walk.
One fat lady that I saw got a dislocated jaw, laughing at those Charlie Chaplin feet.
People wrote dozens of songs in 1915 alone talking about why Charlie Chaplin was so funny.
But he never gets a fight. Wifey's at the movies. Soon the wives will start to stop.
Just to drop that Chaplin mop.
Every man is throwing up his job.
And Stu and McCandless just said Billy Burke is the Good Witch of the North. And said he thinks the singer is Billy Murray here of these songs.
He's absolutely.
Or the first song.
I don't have that information. It may well be. That's a really smart listener.
Nick in West Mifflin writes, what about Uncle Fester?